जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर थारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर थारी यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यमुना तीरवनाचारी यमुना तीरवनाचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जयो गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यमुना तीरवनाचारी यमुना तीरवनाचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति वैरांत स्वामी प्रभुपाल की जय कंतराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि वो समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय आगवेश दिय संबल दिवतीस आगवेश दिय संबल दिवतीस आगवेश दिय संबल दिवतीस आगवेश श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवा भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी आं नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 18, The Battle Between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha, Text 25 through 28. This is the end of this chapter. We'll start with 25 word meanings. Nayavat, before, Asha, this demon, Vardheta, may increase, Swam, his own, Velam, demoniac hour, Prapya, having reached, Daruna, formidable, Swam, your own, Deva, O Lord, Mayam, internal potency, Asthaya, using, Tavat, at once, Jahi, kill, Agham, the sinful one, Achyuta, O infallible one. The Lord Brahma is speaking to Lord Varaha. Nayavadesha vardheta. Swam velam prapya daruna. Swam deva mayam asthaya. Tavajahya ghamam achyuta. Oh, I added a syllable. Nayavaresha vardheta. Swam velam prapya daruna. Swam deva mayam asthaya. Tavajahya gham achyuta. Nayavaresha vardheta. Tavajahyagam achyuta. Nayavadesha vardheta. Svamvelam prapya daruna. Svamdeva mayam asthaya. Deva Maya Masthaya Avajahya Gam Achyuta Nayavaresha Vardheta Svamvelam Prapya Daruna Svamdeva Maya Masthaya Tavajahya Gham Achyuta Nayavaresha Vardheta Svamvelam Prapya Daruna Svam Deva Mayam Asthaya Tavajahya Gham Achyuta Nayavaresha Vardheta Sambelam Prapyadaruna Sandeva Mahasaya Avajahyagham Achyuta. Translation. Brahma continued, "My dear Lord, you are infallible. Please kill this sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives, and he presents another formidable approach favorable to him. You can kill him by your internal potency without doubt." Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The battle has been going on. Apparently, Lord Brahma and the other spectators were at a distance earlier. Now they've come ringside, getting a closer view of what's going on. Lord Brahma is worried because Krishna wants to make it look real, so it has to look like a real fight. So we're reading four verses today, and none of them have a purport. But Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur has said something. Let's see, this one or the on this one. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur on this verse says, "Before his favorable time, Swam Velam arrives, when his power increases, and you, though the Supreme Lord, cannot kill him, you should kill him. Though Brahma is full of power and knowledge, out of prema, he becomes unsteady with apprehension. Similarly, though Vasudeva and Devaki are full of power and knowledge, they say, 'I am trembling in fear from Kamsa for your safety.'" And Jiva Goswami says, "Brahma's knowledge of the Lord's powers becomes restricted when the Lord becomes absorbed in prema, in which he has fighting pastimes." So, what's the point of this? The idea is that, well, it seems odd. Why is Lord Brahma really afraid that Krishna is going to lose the battle? He's coming in. He's saying, "The demoniac hour is coming." Actually, is it this verse or the following one? I guess it talks. The next one talks about Abhijit. So this, the demoniac hour is sunset when it gets dark. I'm always thinking, gee, it's sunset, it's such a beautiful time of day. But of course, it's announcing the coming of the darkness. So the demons, they get more powerful at night, apparently. Vardheta, increase. Hey, what will increase? His own power. His power increases. His power will increase when it gets dark, Lord Brahma is saying. So kill him now. Now we'll hear in the next verse, actually, what is now. Now is Abhijit. Abhijit is noon. I was trying to get more information about this because, anyway, we'll get to that verse, but the basic idea is this is an auspicious time for you to kill him. Abhijit is an auspicious time for victory. So when I hear that, I think, well, there's two people fighting. Whose victory? All I can think is that it's an auspicious time for victory for the pious and not for the impious. Anyway, so Lord Brahma, he's acting in a certain way because, well, inspired by Krishna. Krishna inspired this whole thing, this whole event to take place. Lord Vishnu, you know, of course, this traces all the way back to the cursing of Jaya and Vijaya. The Lord wanted to fight, so he set it up. He set up the whole thing. Is it this? Oh, yes, this verse. So here it says, Lord Brahma says, "Swam Deva Mayam Astaya." Your own, Swam Deva, O Lord, Mayam, internal potency, Astaya, using. So he's saying, kill him using your own potency. So even Krishna's the Supreme Lord. One of the essential characteristics of our understanding of the Supreme Lord is that he has inconceivable energies. He has Swarup Shakti. He has his own internal energies. And he accomplishes those things through those energies. In fact, they understand his will. So he doesn't necessarily have to tell them always exactly, you do this, you do that. They're part of him, his internal energy, antaranga shakti. So these are, of course, they have this maya. So maya, we understand, we think of maya generally in a certain way. We think of maya in relationship to the material world. But maya also just means the Lord's energies. These energies are all, of course, the another word is shakti. These shaktis of the Lord, they're listed in different places. In Krishna Sandarbha Jiva Goswami, there's one section where Krishna Sandarbha is all about Krishna. So he talks a lot about Krishna establishing. What he does actually in Bhagavat Sandarbha, he establishes what is the meaning of Bhagavan and how Bhagavan is superior to Brahman and Paramatma and the Purushas in this material world. So he establishes who the principles of Bhagavan. Of course, we have this definition, the six qualities of the Lord, beauty, wealth, fame, and so on. So this is the definition of Bhagavan. But he doesn't specify Krishna in Bhagavat Sandarbha. He has a special Sandarbha about Krishna. That's the Krishna Sandarbha. So he says so many things about Krishna, establishing how he is Swayam Bhagavan. He is that Bhagavan that was spoken of in Bhagavat Sandarbha. And towards the end of the book, he talks about the shaktis of Bhagavan, or the shaktis of Krishna especially. And there Jiva Goswami quotes a verse. He says that there are different lists in different places. They're named differently. But in one place, Lord Shiva is talking to Parvati in the Skanda Purana. And he gives that list there of these different shaktis, or maya, of Krishna. And what's interesting is in that list of 16, generally we think they're all going to be good. They're going to be they have good qualities. They represent good qualities, like fame and beauty and so on. But actually in that list of 16, there are three that are not so good. They're also part of Krishna's internal potency. So these are, Krura is the first one. Of course, we're familiar with the word akrura, right? The gopis complain, you're akrura, you're supposed to be not cruel, but you're cruel. So Krura, which Jiva Goswami gives a synonym, ferocity and harshness, that's part of Krishna's antaranga shakti. He has this, you might say, cruelty, one of his energies. Another one is Bhishana. Bhishana means terror. So there, Krishna comes to get rid of the terrorists, but he can also show some terror. And the other one is, of the three, Shoka, grief. And to illustrate these, Jiva Goswami, he uses as evidence, when Krishna appeared in the, what is it called? Where the bow festivals went, the arena of the sacrificial, you know, for that festival, the great bow for that festival when Krishna and Balaram arrived. So there's a famous verse there, Mallanam Ashaninam Naravarastinam Smaro Murtiman. So it lists 10 kinds of people and how they saw Krishna. So they saw Krishna in different ways. So three of those that are mentioned in that verse, Jiva Goswami says these are an illustration because they're seeing Krishna like this. So that because these are Krishna's energies. So these three that I mentioned that are bad, the first one I mentioned was akura, or ferocity. So mallanam ashani, this verse begins. The fighters, the combatants, the persons that Krishna and Balaram are going to fight, they were like, they saw Krishna as a lightning bolt or a thunderbolt, lightning bolt probably would say. So because, of course, they were surprised when they saw Krishna and Balaram, they thought, well, they're going to be easy to kill, obviously. Although they did say, well, we heard that actually you're not just a couple of country boys. You have some special powers. You've killed a lot of demons. So and of course, Krishna and Balaram, they ended up showing how they were like thunderbolts or lightning bolts, and they killed him. So this ferocity, Jiva Goswami takes from this verse, Malana Mashani. And then for the Bhishana, Mrityur Bhojapate. So that's, Bhojapate is Kamsa, king of the Bhoja dynasty. And how did he see Krishna? Mrityur, as death. So terror is represented, this energy of terror. He's terrorizing Kamsa. We understand how he was so scared. He saw these inauspicious things. He couldn't sleep at night. He was hearing about what Krishna and Balaram did when they came into the town, that the two country boys coming into the city and creating havoc. And what does Prabhupada say in his Krishna book? He phrases it. He says, they wandered in the city not caring for the law and order of Kamsa. And of course, also, when they came the next day and they killed Kuvalaya Pita, then they walked into the area, they had these tusks. Each one had an elephant's tusk over his shoulder, dripping blood from it. So they were kind of showing off a little bit, their cowherd boyfriends. And then the other one that of these three qualities, shoka, grief, Asatam Shasta, which means punisher of the miscreant kings. So they're also in that list. The miscreant kings, when they saw Krishna, then they saw, he's our punisher. He's going to hold us accountable for our misdeeds. So that's the idea here. Lord Brahma is saying, kill him with your own internal potency. That's how you accomplish things. So, of course, he also calls Krishna Achyuta. Achyuta means he's infallible. Prabhupada would say infallible, which is nice because one meaning, of course, is he never falls. We can fall. We're tiny, minute jivas. But Krishna never falls. So he's infallible or infallible. Arjuna calls Krishna by this name at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Ratame Staya Achyuta, please drive my chariot in between the two armies that are getting ready to fight, O Achyuta. And later also in Bhagavad Gita, he uses that name. He refers to Krishna in that name. Of course, Prabhupada, he gives great, not only Prabhupada, the other commentators as well. In this verse, it doesn't sound like much. Krishna is telling Arjuna, Arjuna is telling Krishna, drive my chariot in between the two armies. You think, okay, it's just some narrative going on. But as the acharyas point out, this is very significant because Arjuna is telling Krishna. Arjuna is the one in charge. He's the big shot. He's the chariot driver. And Krishna is the lowly chauffeur in this situation. He's the chariot driver. He's the servant. So Prabhupada points out this shows Krishna's love for his devotee, how he always acts to satisfy his devotees, to favor his devotees. And he says, I don't have any independence. I do what my devotees want. I do everything to satisfy my devotees, so I'm not independent. And he considers this a great ornament of his, that he has this quality in his relationship with his devotees. So that's a little something about the first verse here. So now the second one. Esha Goratama Sandhya Loka Chambat Kari Prabho Upasarpati Sarvatman Suranam Jayam Avaha. My Lord, so Brahma again is speaking to Lord Varaha, my Lord, the darkest evening which covers the world is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods. Let's see, is there anything? No one says anything about this. But look at some of the words. Ghoratama. Ghora usually means ghastly, often translated. So here, Ghoratama is translated as darkest. Sanjaya, of course, Sanjaya is not the darkest time, but the darkest time is coming. I asked online recently this idea, you know, we have this expression, it's always darkest before the dawn. So I asked, is this literally true? I didn't think it was, and I was right. It's not true. Not literally true. The darkest time is the time in the middle between sunset and sunrise. You know, it gets darker and darker. Because when the sun is there, the other night I was looking out and it was dark. The sun had already set, and up in the sky there's this orange cloud. You know, it was reflecting the rays from the setting sun. So even though the sun is set, there's still some light hanging around there. So the darkest time is in the middle of the night. That's when it really gets dark. But you know that when it's sandhya, sandhya of course means the in-between time, connection, sandhya, between day and night. Of course, that's when Lord Nrsimhadev kills Hiranyakashipu at that time. So what else here? Chambavada, O Lord, the soul of all souls, he's referred to. Of course, Lord Brahma. One thing you find in the Bhagavatam, there's so many prayers to Lord Krishna, or the Lord is in his different incarnations, especially in the Bhagavatam, in the earlier cantos of the Bhagavatam. And they're full of different names of Krishna. And a lot of them have to do with his great power, especially his power and his majesty. Because, well, it's in the context of the material world, so that's prominent to see that feature of the Lord. He's the creator, he's all-powerful, he's the destroyer, creator, maintainer, and destroyer. You don't hear so much prayers glorifying, well, you do actually, his form, his beautiful form. But especially many of the prayers are talking about his majesty and his power. So Sarvatman, he's the soul of all souls. Then the last line here is Suranam Jayam Avaha. Kill him and win victory for the demigods. We hear in the eighth canto how Aditi, she doesn't like that Krishna sides, Lord Vishnu sides with the demigods. The seventh canto also, this comes up. The question is asked, it seems like Krishna is favorable to one side. He's supposed to be neutral. So the whole chapter, actually, the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam is based on answering this question. Narada Muni speaks the whole seventh canto, pretty much, explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj, answering this question, how the Lord is actually impartial. Okay, the next verse, let's see. Adunaishu bhijin nama yogo maur hutiko yagat shivaya nastvam suridam Ashu nistara dustaram. The auspicious period known as Abhijit, which is most opportune for victory, commenced at midday and has all but passed. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. So I don't know how long this period lasts. Of course, this verse has the word malhurtika, so Muhurta. Here is translated, it's interesting because often it's translated as moment, but we also know that a muhurta is a specific period of time. It's two dandas. A danda is 24 minutes, so a muhurta is 48 minutes. We have, of course, Brahma Muhurta, so it's 48 minutes. So I don't know, maybe here the idea, maybe this Abhijit Muhurta could be 48 minutes long, not just one moment. I've always wondered about this in relation to that. What was his name? He was told he only king. He was told he had only had a moment to live. Katwanga, King Katwanga. So it said he only had a moment to live. He was with the demigods. So then he came back down to earth, and he got serious, And you think, well, how can you do that at a moment? Maybe if you have 48 minutes, okay. Especially if it's 48 minutes of the demigods, you know, and you have a little bit of time. But to do anything in a moment, gee, I can be Krishna conscious for a moment, I think. Sustaining it, that's another story. So anyway, this is what's being said here. This is an auspicious time for victory. Again, as I read this, I thought, well, isn't it an auspicious time for the other side too? But so there seems to be some implication that it's for the pious. Let's see, anything else here? Oh, this word Suryadam, I thought this was interesting. He says, therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe. So Lord Brahma is referring to himself and the other demigods as friends, Lord Varaha's buddies, or at least they're friends. He had a friendly relationship. So this is this word Suryadam, of course, Surit, it means literally good heart. So someone who has a good feeling for you within their heart, they're Suryadam. But in the Krishna Sandarbha again, Jiva Goswami in one place, he's pointing out the superior. He's giving all kinds of evidence about how Krishna is superior. So he talks about another other form of Krishna, maybe his Vishnu form, I forget, where his devotees are referred to as Suryadam. But there's, I'm forgetting what the Sanskrit word is now, but when Krishna in Vrindavan, he refers to the Brijbasis as my people. So Jiva Goswami says, this is higher than Surit. They're my people. These are my people. And he says, I've made the vow that I will always protect them because they're most dear to me. So he says, actually, this is a way of also explaining Jiva Goswami. One thing he does is he explains how, of course, Krishna is at the top. That means Krishna's abodes are also at the top, or Vrajadham is at the top because Krishna's at the top. And similarly, Krishna's devotees, they're also at the top of the list. So because Krishna calls them my people, that means the Brijvasis, they're at the top of all the devotees. So I was reminded of this when I read this. It's nice Lord Brahma thinks of Krishna as his friend. Of course, we also know, Prabhupada says that interesting thing in one purport, where Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, shakes hands with Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma refers to it. It said that in the verse, and then later he says, you shook hands with me as a friend. And Prabhupada says, this says that he's in Sakya Rasa with Krishna, which is great, striking when I read that. So anyway, here again, maybe Lord Brahma is confirming it here, we're your friends, so I'm one of your friends, so please, as you say, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. So again, Lord Brahma, he's actually in some anxiety. He's afraid that this demon is going to get more powerful as it gets dark. So better finish him off now. So then the last verse here. Dishtya tvam vihitam mrityum. Ayam asaditah swayam. Vikramainam mridhe hutva. Lokan adhehi sharmani. This demon, luckily for us, has come of his own accord to you, his death ordained by you. Therefore, exhibiting your ways, kill him in the duel and establish the worlds in peace. Now, let's see, there's some, the Acharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says a little something here. He says, the demon has attained death as ordained by you, who created this scene at the time of accepting the curse made by the Kumaras. So really an interesting insight by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how he's thinking. What's happening now, you created this whole thing. You wanted to enjoy in a certain way, so you created this, and the demon, actually it seems to be a contradiction because it says, he came of his own accord, swayam, asadita. I am this demon, asadita, has come swayam of his own accord. But it's also said, By Dishya, I think that's why Prabhupada translates it. His death ordained by you, yes, Dishya Twam Vihitam. Okay, it says it, the first line of this verse. Dishya means like Daiva, fortune, providence. Dishya Twam, to you, Vihitam, ordained Mrityum, his death. So you already ordained his death. So he came of his own accord, but not quite exactly. Krishna set it up, so he was going to be killed. So, or you can say in the course, in the Leela, in the play that's going on, he came of his own accord. We know, of course, Hiranyaksha, he was going around the whole universe. I like this. There's one picture. It says he smite the waves with his mighty mace. So he's so angry, he's just beating on the ocean as he's walking around, terrorizing the universe. And he goes to Varuna. He goes to Varuna. He wants to fight with him. Varuna says, "I'm too old. I don't fight anymore. But I'll tell you someone who'll give you a good fight." So it says he came of his own accord because he got inspired. Oh boy, I want to fight, so now I'm finally going to get a worthy opponent to fight with. So he's telling him to kill him. And he created this scene. Of course, everything Krishna does, you know, it happens by his will. Of course, one thing when I read this, I was thinking, well, maybe there's a shortcoming here. You might think, well, Krishna knows what's going to happen. He set the whole thing up. He's going to win. How much fun is that? You want some surprise, right? There has to be some dynamics going on there. Not that it's already happened, just like Krishna said, of course, to Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. I've already killed them all. So you might think, well, where's the surprise for Krishna? But he can arrange that too. He does that. That's one of the amazing qualities of Krishna. His achintya shakti is that he can forget who he is because he wants to. Everything he wants, he gets. He's really spoiled. it just happens according to his will. So if he wants to forget so he can really get into the role, then he can do that. His shaktis can arrange that. He has that achintya shakti, that inconceivable power. This phrase comes up, actually, I'm forgetting the Sanskrit, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one purport where Prabhupada, he quotes this term, I forget what it is now, that says that Krishna's maya shakti, his maya, as we heard in the first verse today, it can do the impossible. What seems impossible or irrational, Krishna can accomplish those things with his power, achintya shakti, achintya. You think it can't be done, but Krishna can do it. So he can create surprises. He can even feel that, oh, this is a good fight. Actually, Lord Vamanadeva, when he's talking to Bali Maharaj, and he's talking about how Lord Varaha fought with Hiranyaksha, and one of the things he says, and the Lord thought, wow, that was really a good fight. I really did something here. Something like that. He was like proud of himself that he had killed this big demon. So Krishna can experience these different kinds of emotions. Whatever we can experience, he can also experience. And of course, for him, it's all ecstasy, or different flavors of ecstasy. It's like, you know, ice cream is one flavor and bitter melon is another flavor, but you may have both of them at the same meal. Have the different flavors, different tastes. So Krishna, he's Raso Vaisa, he experiences unlimited kinds of variety of pleasure in his pastimes. And his devotees' only business is to help the Lord do that. That's the essence of the devotee's being, is to satisfy Krishna, help him enjoy. And of course, they take part in these leelas also, and they get great pleasure from it. So that's a little something about this, with no purport, so I had to improvise a little bit here. I hope I said something worthwhile. Anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Deva Prasad. Oh, Maharaj.
sorry. In Bhagavad Gita, there's also an example of this idea of, you know, just take advantage. You can fight. It comes of its own accord. Yadrichchaya chopapanam svarga dvaram apavritam. What is it? Sukinak kshatriya sukinak kshatriya parta nanyat astita vadinaha. Oh, happy are those kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come of their own accord, thus opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. So,
Krishna is telling Arjuna that. Krishna is telling Arjuna that, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Krishna's not exactly about Krishna taking advantage, but it's about, he's telling Arjuna to take advantage.
He's advising Arjuna that,
yeah,
you're lucky, you're getting this wonderful opportunity as a kshatriya. You should be very happy.
As interesting,
praptyase svargam jitva va mokshase mahim. What is it? Tasmad yudhishthira yudhyasva vigataj. You can't lose. Hato va praptyase svargam. If you are killed, then you go to heaven. And jitva va bokshase mahim. And if you're victorious, then you could bokshase mahim. You can enjoy this earth planet. So you can't lose. Go for it, Arjuna.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of we hear a lot about this fighting spirit. Seems very prominent in Krishna Leelas and Krishna's instructions.
Seems like there's a lot of fighting in Vedic times, actually. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says about, I always wonder about this because all these kshatriyas. Actually, there's one place I came across, I think it was Prabhupada said in a conversation. He said that the kshatriyas, when they weren't fighting, they lived like vaishyas. They had some land and they took care of their land because they weren't fighting all the time. Although when Prabhupada talks about, he translates the verse, glorification of Bhishma Dev, he who fought on thousands of battlefields. I think, well, that's a lot of fighting, thousands of battlefields. Of course, I guess how do you become a Maharatha unless you do a lot of fighting? But a lot of fighting going on in those times, it seems like. It's like, supposed to be such a nice time. I never can understand why that's so much fighting, a lot of territorial disputes going on, I guess. And we hear about, you know, kings taking over, like Jarasandha. He had conquered all these kings, thousands of kings, you know. So they're going around just taking over. So I guess there was a lot to be defended, a lot of opportunities for fighting.
The people are a little bewildered that it seems like violence is extolled or praised in the Shastra.
Yeah.
And way back, what was it? Must have been, during the 1980s, Satyaraj Prabhu, one of his very first writings, he wrote a little pamphlet with a question. He said, violence in the Bhagavad Gita?
Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, the assumption, you know, is that like nonviolence, spiritual life means Om Shanti Shanti Om, you know, just peace and love, you know.
Yeah.
But no, there's plenty of violence. And there's plenty of everything in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah. The point is, it's necessary, of course, because there are demons and they have to be taken care of. Something else? Devaprastha Prabhu, you had something?
This his coming of his own accord, although it was all arranged, I guess they Jayam Vijay had a choice of seven lives as devotees or three as demigods, as demons. So they chose to come back sooner to take three lives, so in the one sense it's of their accord. Is that connected or am I...
That right? Story, I don't know, where is that from? Is that a bona fide story? He's asking about That it says that Jaya and Vijaya were given a choice. You can either take whatever it was, seven lives or whatever it was as devotees, or three lives as demons. It's actually in Shastra. Oh, it's from one of our acharyas. That's as good as Shastra. Yeah, so they wanted to get back quickly. It's interesting, isn't it? Choose to fight with Krishna. But they also knew, actually, I read recently, I forget, one of the acharyas said, the whole idea came from the devotee and not from Krishna. The devotee thought, well, maybe the Lord would like to fight. Maybe I can do that service. And Krishna maybe simultaneously was thinking, yeah, I'm ready for a fight. Everyone's always bowing down to me all the time, you know. Madhumati Prabhu.
Sometimes I hear our second generation, they don't want to read Krishna book to the kids because there's so much killing and fighting. And my thought was like, for centuries, people in India, people have been hearing, they kids grow up with hearing Lord Ram's pastimes or Krishna's pastimes of killing and everything. And they seem to come out to be very peaceful people as they grow up. So I'm just wondering that psychologically, how does that work?
Yeah.
And why some of the devotee kids are hesitant to read?
I've had that same thought, actually. It's interesting. Our kids grow up hearing about all this killing. It's like, gee, what can you do? That's what Krishna does. Now, the one thing is, of course, the Bhagavatam has special potencies. Just like, this is something I had wondered about before, but the Rasa Leela. It said the Rasa Leela, you know, one of the qualifications of practicing bhakti and getting the rewards of bhakti is that you can start from anywhere. So this, the verse about, you know, how you hear the Rasa Leela, and you'll become free of lust. So the acharyas have pointed out that means you can start with lust, listening to the Rasa Leela. You can have a lustful heart, and it will cure you of that. So I mean, first, when I, you know, hearing that, I was thinking, well, isn't anything you hear about Krishna going to cure you of that? But Rasa Leela has a special potency. That particular Leela has a special potency. Of course, it's interesting that we're cautioned about it. Well, it's loud here. We're cautioned to, I think this is controlled by the computer now, isn't it? We're cautioned about diving into the Rasa Leela. But one thing I read out in, there's this book that has all these commentaries in the 10th canto, and none of the acharyas give that angle, actually. They talk about the other side of it, how it will purify your heart. They don't talk about caution, about hearing, you know, don't hear about this prematurely, which is what we tend to hear in our parivar, bidding in with Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, and Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, my point is that hearing about the killing from Krishna, Krishna's doing the killing, that can, as you're saying, it has some kind of effect where it doesn't contaminate, that our kids don't grow up to be, you know, mass murderers or something because they read Krishna book when they were 5 years old or they heard it, you know. It has an opposite effect. Actually, it's purifying. It gets rid of those evil tendencies that are within the heart. Somehow or other, it works that way. Well, it's because it's spiritual sound vibration. Well,
one thing I was thinking is that, you know, by just even on the material level, not even considering them to have certain potency, but the whole everything, whether it's Ramayana or whether it's Krishna book, it is about good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we see it's so, I would assume the idea, you know, would be that the kids would think that, okay, this evil, we destroy the evil, you know.
Yeah. Of course, that's a theme of so many movies, right? They have animation for children, and it's always, that's pretty much what it's about, good and evil. That's the one story, pretty much. For every book, there's always an antagonist and a protagonist, so a lot of times they have these super villains, and then you have to have a superhero to come in and take care of the situation. So even in normal society, in a mundane way, children grow up hearing about that. But as you're saying, yeah, they learn the principle. There's good and evil, and sometimes the good have to take care of the evil.
I assume that we, as just like Krishna has a tendency to fight, we also have that, yeah? I mean, we have it. I'm assuming we inherit that, and therefore we can't hide away from that. Anyway, some thoughts.
Even little boys fighting with each other.
Hare Krishna. Vegavati Devi commented, Brahma saw himself as the eternal maid servant of Krishna in Brahma Samhita.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have different perspectives on Lord Brahma. So in Brahma Samhita, his relationship is with Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, it seems to be that he's having an exchange with Lord Vishnu, so the mood is somewhat different. In Brahma Samhita, it's more intimate. But Jiva Goswami explains in the Sandarbhas how it was actually Krishna himself who spoke the four nutshell verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. First, there was an interaction with Vishnu, and then actually Krishna himself spoke those four verses. So he has relationship in these different forms of Krishna. So that's nice. That's a nice quote from the Brahma Samhita. Yeah, we get Lord Brahma is portrayed in Brahma Samhita. Of course, he's offering the prayers too. So all these wonderful prayers are his. Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. His, you can see there, he has a relationship with Lord Krishna. Of course, he wanted to take birth in Braja, even outside Braja, to get the dust from the Brajvasi's feet. So, of course, he's a very complex personality, Lord Brahma. We get to see different aspects of his personality at different situations. Divyanga Prabhu.
I was just wondering, what else would you read to your children if you didn't read Krishna books? I mean, you're going to read... going to read Disney, or you're going to let them play video games? That's all it is kill or be killed. I mean, and you're not going to stop them. You know, I mean, well, we didn't read Krishna book to spare them the violence, and then the kids are over there playing video games for 10 hours a day, kill or be killed. I mean, you got to read your kid Krishna book. Whoever's not reading the Krishna book, I feel sorry for them. What's the matter with you people?
We even have a children's Krishna book. Right? Parvati did. Yeah.
That point you made, that it is not so much of a killing, but connected to Krishna, that actually transformed even a child's heart.
Yeah.
Because I was reflecting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a whole chart of all the anarthas that we are born with. It's not like we are not going to expose those. Nature are there. So all this hearing Krishna book story will actually purify. Eventually will get out completely.
Yes, that's the solution. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.